Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com, and we have a lot to catch up on. The commitments have been coming in fast and furious for the basketball and football teams, and we are still in the thick of absolute prime portal season. There is always something to be talking about with the transfer portal and the impact it is having on college athletics. We're going to be joined later by the newest Kansas football commit, future Jayhawk offensive lineman and KU legacy Anderson Kopp. We're super excited to talk with him today. Let's just jump right into this. There's so much to cover. Let me go ahead and bring in my man on the men's basketball beat, Mr. Shay Wildebor, joining us right now. Shay, how you doing this Thursday?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys? I'm ready. I hate to say this. I'm ready for the portal to close. I'm ready to Kirby to sign off on a little vacation. And as you guys know, in this, whenever I leave town, Kirby says, make sure you have one thing. Two things, your cell phone and your laptop. And he's right, because it never stops.
It never ends.
I'm glad to be here with you guys. I'm blessed. I'm glad we're back in the studio and looking forward to talking a little sports with some knowledgeable people.
You know, Shay, there's so much going on right now, and it's there's just so much to cover, so many questions to ask. I've been looking forward to this because there's so much that I want to know as a Kansas fan. Before we get into that, let me go ahead. You mentioned Kirby. I need to welcome in our man on the football beat and the publisher of Jayhawk Slant, my good friend John Kirby. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I'm like Shay. You know, with the portal, it's crazy. And you never know when news is going to come. It's like Shay said, signing off on vacation. I always tell him, dude, you're always on vacation. You can go on vacation wherever you want, right? But news dictates your vacation in our business. I mean, listen, me and the lady, we got away about a couple months ago. We went to Fort Lauderdale for mm-hmm. 3 nights, I think it was, right?
Nice.
I told her, I said, you know, this time of year, it's hard. So we went out. Hey, I'm sitting there on the beach with the phone on, laptop next to me, because you never know when something's going to come. So you have to be ready. And I know my wife just sits here and just rolls her eyes like, come on. You know, she'll give you the whole, dude, this is 18, 19-year-old kids. You know? I'm like, but Cindy, there's a lot of people that care about those 18 and 19-year-old kids.
That's where you got to look at her and say, you know, I hate to say it, but indirectly, those 18 and 19-year-old kids kind of helping us to be here on this beach right now.
Well, in a way, but Shay's right, man. Hey, now one thing I want to, before we get into this, and this kind of flew by, and I'm surprised there hasn't been more talk about this. So they just came out and announced in the portal, I want to say it's Tuesday for football and Wednesday for basketball, if my days are right. There is, the portal shuts down now. In the past, Randy and Shay, when you went in the portal, grad transfers could still enter whenever they wanted to enter, right?
Yeah,
so I mean,
yeah.
So the portal closed, but it never really closed, because you'd still have
– May 1st, it's open.
Yeah, starting next week, they just passed legislation, the NCAA did. When the portal closes next week, it shuts down, and their grad transfers are locked. They can't even enter. So I got to tell you, it's kind of nice. I'm sure coaches love this, that they can just get away and not have to worry about the portal, because, you know, those guys are sitting in front of that portal, man, every minute of the day looking to who goes in.
Well, and we've been talking about that specific aspect of it and the way it's affecting coaches and their lives away from football. We've been talking about that since this whole seismic shift began. I mean, a year ago today, we were sitting here talking about, you said, you were like, at some point, something's going to have to change because coaches just, they have no opportunity to get away from this. I mean, that's part of the reason that you, that Scott Fuchs left for the NFL. I really believe, like, a lot of, you're seeing a lot more coaches starting to make that move from the college ranks to the NFL if they have the opportunity, because they can't stand this.
Well, what you get, Randy, is you get, you also see guys who are like coordinators. They'll take position jobs in an NFL, or you get head coaches that will take coordinator jobs. They'll leave head coaching jobs to go to a lesser position at another school so they don't have to deal with it. So, and I think the portal, you know, with NIL has, you know, it's definitely muddied the water. So, I mean, listen, there, I said this, there's going to be changes, and I can tell you this, there are going to be major changes to NIL. It's coming, and I think we'll start hearing a lot about it, maybe within about a year from now. But I think what's going to happen is the NIL is going to start going inside the schools, and schools are going to be responsible for TV revenue distribution to athletes, and some of the NIL, it's going to start getting paid out, and it's, but collectives aren't going to go away. So I mean, again, this thing's there's going to be so many twists and turns to this in the future. People just have to stay tuned because there's going to be a lot of changes.
This is literally like the greatest soap opera in all of sports. And I say that as a massive NFL fan that, you know, today is football nerd Christmas starts tonight with the first of the NFL draft. I love it. But the college, you know, it's, people have said for years, the NFL is the perfect product in the fact that almost every month of the offseason, there is something that keeps you paying attention, whether it's the draft, whether it's the start of OTAs, whether it's free agency, the announcement of schedules, whatever it is, there's something every month that keeps it top of mind. College football, with the advent, well, and men's basketball, obviously, too, and women's basketball, with the advent of the portal and the introduction of what is essentially free agency to college sports, has done the exact same thing. There is never a day that there is not transfer news, that there is not recruiting news. There's not something going on. I was thinking about that the other day. It's real. It'll be interesting to watch some of the parallels between the two, because I know it's talked about a lot on the boards, on our website, you know, the potential for a breakaway for, you know, the top level college football and men's basketball programs to maybe break off and do their own thing away from the NCAA. And you just wonder, is that the model that eventually is that they're going to follow? Are they trying to set themselves up in a way similar, saying, hey, we can learn from what the NFL is doing right now and we can make that same kind of money? I mean, it's crazy when you look at the similarities and the things, the way this is happening. Like you say, the changes that could come with NIL in a year, when if they bring that in inside the schools and they're able to manage revenue distribution and payments, look out. It's a whole other world that they're opening up. So I talked about it. I mentioned how much is going on in men's basketball. Let's go that direction right now. You know, Shay, talking about the portal, talking about NIL, we are in the absolute heat of that time of year. Bill Self and his staff of the Kansas men's basketball program are anywhere and everywhere right now, doing what they can to fortify and improve this roster. You know, we know they're looking at players. We know there are names. You've actually had a lot of names for us already. Get us caught up on the additions, and who are some other potential guys that could enter the fray here over the next few weeks?
Right. So the first thing, Randy, is I know a lot of questions have been asked about Riley Kugel, the shooting guard from Florida. Obviously, Zeke Mayo signed. AJ Storr signed, and Riley did not. At this time, I can't say for sure that he is going to sign with Kansas. I know academics have been mentioned. I haven't spoken to specifically with him about that. That's on the site. That's something that I've always learned from Kirby. When it comes to academics and things of that nature, things that people don't talk about, we generally don't touch.
I agree completely.
And I'm kind of feel that way. I asked a source of mine if Riley Kugel was going to sign with Kansas, and the response I received was probably not. He didn't say no for sure and said that could change, but right now I'm thinking that, due to the fact that he hasn't signed, You know, due to the fact that they've obviously just lost LeBaron Fallon, due to the fact that they're recruiting other guys, I'm not expecting him to be a part of KU's transfer portal class. So we've got that out of the way. So the next up, obviously, they've got a commitment and a signature from Zeke Mayo, who was at South Dakota State, and A.J. Storr. Both
and a, huge, Zeke Mayo, a Lawrence kid, by the way.
Oh, baller. I don't care what. And I know there have been some similarities between him and Timberlake or maybe A.J. Whatever. Stop. Let's just stop right now and move on from that. Zeke Mayo is a baller. A 19.2 points a game, 5.8 rebounds, 3.6 assists, shot nearly 50% from the field, 40% from behind the arc. I think is a guy that's going to come in right away and be a baller. Three-level scorer. And I think the thing that Kansas struggled with last year, also which A.J. Storr will help tremendously with, is guys that can get their own buckets. You know, guys who can put the ball
no
in their
question.
Right, you can put the ball in their hands, space the court, and let them go do things. Like the thing that I love, like about guys like Sharon Collins, Dog, Devontae Graham, and there's another guard that I mentioned,
Frank Mason, Devon Dawson,
guys that you could put the ball in their hands and they could go get you a bucket when you needed it. Mm-hmm. I think two things that Kansas really lacked this season, more than two, but two of the standout things were guys that could create their own shots and get to the bucket, and guys that could hit shots. You know, you got a guy in Zeke Mayo that can do that. You got a guy in A.J. Storr that averaged 16 points a game, almost 45% from the field. Not quite as a prolific three-point shooter, but I think when you add, when you put guys around him, he's going to play on a roster that he's never had before in terms of talent. So I think his game is going to open up. Those are the two guys that are on board, with three guys that are on board, two that have signed, that are definitely in Lawrence next month or 2 months from now. Now here's an interesting develop. The Kobe Brea kid from Dayton, who shot I think 49 or 50% from behind the arc, narrowed his list of schools down to five: Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, Carolina, and Connecticut. You might have heard of some of those schools.
I think I know a couple of those programs.
Right. Yeah, I think two. I know Connecticut won it this year, last year, and then Kansas the year before. So what? Three of the five schools that have won national championships the last 5 years. So he's done Zooms with all five schools. I'm deciding now where he's going to visit. I asked, is Kansas going to visit? And was told very likely. Nothing's been set up yet. They don't have anything in the works. I don't even know if any dates have been thrown around, but that's something to watch. Another interesting development, Javon Small, the point guard from Oklahoma State. He's been everywhere. Miami, the Hurricanes. I think he's currently or just left Ole Miss. And I would expect a visit for him to take place extremely soon. And now here's the thing. Ryland Griffin visited last week with the high school kid Darius Acuff, which we'll get into. People are really concerned about why Ryland Griffin hasn't made an announcement yet. And my message to all of those people that are concerned would be to sit back and enjoy the process. And my guess is that we hear something within the next 48 hours. I would be surprised if it goes past Friday. And if it goes past Friday, then it goes past Friday. You know, those are things that, you know, it's funny, Randy. I have other guys in the media, and it's funny. You say, hey, man, can you get this guy to do this early? Can you? And I'm like, you guys, that's right. Well, yeah. No, I can't do that. I can't.
If we could get them to do this stuff when we wanted to, do you realize how much easier our lives would be?
Right.
Kirby wouldn't be working from the beach.
Right. No. Right. Yeah. Shay, can you call this guy up or can you call his people? No, I can't do that. But what I can tell you is that my feelings about Ryland Griffin haven't changed one bit. I said from the beginning that when he hit the portal and Kansas got involved, that at the end of the day, that I figured if I had a crystal ball, or if I had a whatever you call it, the thing we do to predict somebody, I would predict him to Kansas, the future cast. I would future cast him to Kansas. Being that he's a transfer, I can't do that. So I'm just telling everybody to relax and enjoy the ride. And I would be surprised if something isn't. And I'm not saying it's going to be for Kansas Friday, but I'm saying that I have a good feel that at the end of the day that's likely will he'll pick. So the thing about it is, Randy, is that the good news for Kansas is they can make some additions. My guess is right now that Johnny Furphy stays in the draft. They make some additions. They bring some guys back. Obviously, you know, Hunter, I think he's got till, is it Friday? I think Friday's the deadline, I believe, and he hasn't done anything. So I think the writing's on the wall there. I think the good news for Kansas is they have not had any portal additions. They're one of seven schools in the
United
States.
Portal losses, you mean?
Yeah, a portal loss. Thank you, portal losses. That has not had a portal loss. I think you got to hold on there on Marco Jackson. I do. I believe that in my heart. I think I know a lot of people were high on him when he came in. He struggled last year. He is a guy that you have to hold on to.
As high as Bill Self is on him, I'm going to defer to his judgment on this one. He is convinced that El Marco was going to be a dude.
Right, right. And you heard him I heard him at the banquet. Do not bet against El Marco Jackson in year two from a Hall of Fame coach. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, I was like, oh man, he might actually stay. Again, in the portal, we got till May 1st to figure out. I mean, I've heard Zach, you know, the names are out there. You hear Zach might enter or that El Marco could still. I just think that, you know, with Furphy leaving, obviously, you know, and he could test and he could test poorly. He could have a bad week or whatever, how it works, and he could decide to come back. I don't see that now. You know, with LeBaron Fallon, who, you never want to see a guy leave. You know, in my mind, I think he was a guy that could probably played a role in a particularly big role at some point in his career. But, you know, you lose those two guys. And I think, you know, in your mind, you start having that thought if you're a Marco Jackson, especially if you're talking with coach, hey, you know, I have a role here. I have a spot. So, yeah, tomorrow will be different. I mean, if Ryland commits and, you know, you make it through the Friday, you make it through the week with no portal commits and Zach comes back and Hunter comes back. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a roster potentially that has a chance to be for the second straight year number one preseason. So a lot of ifs, ands, or buts still, but they've made some huge additions. I love AJ Store. I love that addition, a guy that's a huge playmaker. I love Mayo just simply because he's a three-level scorer. And, you know, you add a Ryland, maybe add a Kobe Bray, who was really, in my mind, a guy that can do one thing really well, and that's shoot the ball.
Love it. Love it. You know, it isn't just the season to add, but we have seen subtractions. You know, you mentioned LeBaron Fallon. They are one of the few teams in the country, like you said, that has not lost a player, but they did lose Fillmore. And do you feel like at this point, I know you said they're the only team in the country, really. Do you think there's a chance that someone could still leave, or do you think that we're past that point now?
Oh, goodness. I think there's until the portal closes, I think there's always a chance. And here's why I say that. I think sometimes, especially if you're maybe a little bit older, maybe like a Zach, not to circle out Zach, but maybe a guy that's got a circle that's filled with maybe mom and dad and maybe some coaches or a guardian or what. I think sometimes outside influences can get inside your brain or your mind and make you think things exist that really don't exist. Like, here's my thing. Like, I've known Bill Self a long time. It's my 21st year covering this team. So I've been here every year he's been here. I think if he gets in front of – and I think there's always coach speak. I mean, Randy, you and I and John have covered this long enough to know that sometimes coaches tell you what you want to hear for the sake of telling you what you want to hear. I think when he got up in front of all those people at the banquet with the tone that he used and the sincerity coming out of his voice, don't bet against El Marco Jackson in year two, I think he absolutely means that. I mean, he followed that young man long enough, along with Norm Roberts and that staff, to know that what he's capable of. I think sometimes you get in a – you get in a funk, you get in your mind, and you just can't get out of it. You need multiple things to happen on a regular basis. And for him this season, he had spurts where things happened, but it wasn't all the time. I mean, it didn't happen for him. And so I think a fresh year at Kansas, having a whole summer here, having been in the system for a year, I think that'll benefit him. So could somebody leave before May 1st? Sure. Sure. I mean, you add Ryland Griffin. Let's say you add a guy like a Kobe Bray or a Javon Small. You know, that those numbers add up. And then let's just say that Furphy decides to return. That now you're looking at a situation, and I'm not saying this happens, that where maybe somebody doesn't leave. Maybe you have a conversation with someone where, hey man, it's just not going to work out here. Maybe you should look elsewhere. I don't know what those conversations look like. I don't know how they work. I don't know what they entail, but you add one or two more guys. And yeah, I think there's a possibility that some guys look at the roster, look at the role maybe they played last year and say, hey, maybe this isn't going to work for me.
Okay. So we've talked portal. In fact, we have talked a ton of portal. High school recruits still have a place in college basketball. Let's talk high school recruiting. I know they had a recent visitor in. What's the latest with this program and where they're looking for prep prospects?
Right. And I want to say high school recruiting is important, Randy, but I've been thinking about this. I'm not sure how important it is. I mean, obviously, you know, they had a Liam McNeely who was all but committed to Kansas, and now they want portal addition. So it's interesting, and I'll get now to Darius Acuff, how the dynamic has shifted. But, yeah, they had Darius. Here's the thing. You've got a guy named DeJuan Harris who's going to man the point guard spot this year, no questions asked. He is Bill's guy, and if he was here next year, that would be the case. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Darius Acuff Jr., whose dad was coached by Curtis Townsend in college. The family is very close. You know, at one point it looked like it was Kansas, Kentucky, and Michigan. He's a 6'2", 170-pound, number 9 ranked player in America, top point guard, plays for IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. You know, at one point it looked like Kansas was really strong, Michigan was really strong, Kentucky was really strong. Well, Kentucky obviously lost Calipari to Arkansas. You know, the coach at Juwan Howard was let go at Michigan. So all of a sudden you've got Kentucky, who's hired a new coach, Michigan, who's hired a new coach, and Kansas, who has a Hall of Famer in Bill Self. So I think, you know, I think Kansas is right where it needs to be. Now, I know there was some talk coming into the visit, and I'm not sure why, but there was some talk that maybe he would commit early, you know, that he would do something, that he would reclass. I don't think anybody's going to make that decision with DeJuan Harris settling at the point guard position. And with the other additions. I mean, I think there's a situation where you see like guys like Mayo and Store and maybe some other guys spell DeJuan Harris at the point guard spot, but you know, he's going to play point guard minutes. So yeah, I think if you can get a guy like Darius Acuff next year to come in next year and take over for DeJuan Harris, and that's as good a scenario as you can get. I mean, he's confident with the ball, he can score, and he's originally from Michigan. He's just, as you mentioned earlier, dudes. He's just one of those dudes that balls. It's in his family. He knows Coach Townsend well. He could come in, have a comfort level that maybe other freshmen might not have simply because of his relationship with the staff. And, you know, that's a role that he would play extremely, extremely well. Just confident. One of those guys that, in terms of confident-wise, reminds me of a kind of like a Sharon Collins, simply because if you would put the ball in Sharon's hand as a freshman and told him to go lead, he would have done that. Mm-hmm. He had that confidence. He was, you know, Sharon was from a tough neighborhood in Chicago and went to Crane Tech High School, I believe, and just one of those guys that probably saw more in life at that age that he needed to see and knew the one way out was ball, and he took that ball. And I think Darius, from a toughness standpoint, has some of those qualities. So, yeah, keep an eye on Darius Acuff Jr. because he's going to be one that Kansas fans are going to want to follow.
I know we are a good ways, a long ways, really, away from the start of college basketball season. Yes. But based on who Bill Self has added and who you think they could still get, what are your early thoughts on how this team looks on paper? And do you feel like they've improved so far?
I do. I think, and I don't say this normally because I think college basketball players, especially in today's age, with what they're making and all the things they have available to them, should have an element of toughness maybe that guys in the past shouldn't have. I mean, strictly speaking from a media standpoint, but I think Hunter Dickinson is one guy, and John and I have talked about this, that on the board takes an absolute beating that shouldn't. You know, he's a guy that averaged, what, almost close to 20-12. A guy that went out there and played, you know, his running mate. Randy, I always do this.
KJ?
No. McCuller got hurt. Oh, sorry, McCuller, yes, got hurt, so we didn't have his running mate with him for a lot of the season. You know, Timberlake struggled. El Marco Jackson struggled. Chris Johnson decided to opt out and sign with Texas.
Basically, you're saying nothing went right this season, nothing, as everyone knows.
Nothing. And yet he was able to average 20-12 almost a game. Are you kidding? And there's some people that maybe want him to leave?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So, no, I think if you can surround him. The thing is, you got to space the court. Because KJ's a guy that's never going to be a guy that hits 15-foot jump shots. So you got to find a way to space that court. You have to. You bring in the guys, all of a sudden now you got A.J. Store, you got Zeke Mayo, you got DeJuan Harris.
Like you said earlier, you used the phrase three-level scorers.
Right,
you need
right.
people that can get their own shot and can also hit from really anywhere on the floor.
Right. So, no, I think they have a potential to be better. And, you guys, last year was just one of those years. Listen, if you beat West Virginia, you beat K-State, you're up by 12, West Virginia 16, and Central Florida, it's a different season.
Completely.
But Kevin McCullough's hurt. They get blown out at Houston. And anybody would have gotten blown out at Houston. I don't care who you are. Because Houston was really damn good last year.
Houston was fantastic.
Right. If they don't lose Shedd, they beat Duke because Duke barely beat them without him.
Mm-hmm.
You play Cincinnati. You play really damn strong too in the Big 12 tournament. And Kansas kind of stumbles down the stretch. They get beat. They win their opening round tournament, which gassed them. And then less than 36 hours later, they're playing. They were the last team to play on that opening night, and one of the first teams to play the next day and a half later. And I don't have to make excuses for those guys. They're big boys. But the simple fact is they were gassed. And I hear grown men on our board talk about, well, they're young men. Guys, everybody gets tired.
Mm-hmm.
Five starters played 34, 35 minutes a game, and they had nobody off the bench helping. So do I think they're going to be better? Absolutely. But you got to stay healthy, and you got to hit shots. You know, you got to win games on the road. You got to be good down the stretch. You got to be good in crunch time. And they have guys on this team that are capable of doing all those things. Will it come together in time? I don't know. Are they going to add a Kobe Brea who can hit 50% of his threes on 6 attempts per game? I don't know. But what I do know now is I think they've got a team that could lace it up if they spend a little time with each other this summer that can play with anybody. And I think Hunter Dickinson has a lot to do with why I feel about that way, because you need a man in the middle that can play like a man, and he can play like a man.
There you go.
And I don't mean to say I'm going to be like Sketch from TikTok. I don't mean to – sorry for cussing. But, I mean, listen, Hunter's a dude. Any team in America would take him.
No doubt.
I mean, any team. So, yeah. So, I think they'll be better. I'm excited. I know it's a little ways away. I know we have football first. We got Kobe Bryant. We got all them dudes coming back, and I'm ready for that. But basketball will be here, and I think they have the chance to be one of the best teams in college basketball, without a doubt. And title number 3, if everything falls in place, is well within reach.
That's our man, Shea Wildebor, on the men's basketball beat. Shea, thank you for joining us today. Thanks for all the information, man.
All right, brothers. You guys have a good one.
That's Shea Wildebor. Time to switch gears. As I mentioned earlier, it is football nerd Christmas, with it being the start of the NFL draft. So it's the perfect time to bring in my man, John Kirby, on the Kansas football beat. John, I know we just touched on a lot of portal info with Shay, and I don't think that's the right word for it. We covered a ton regarding the portal. And you look to the other side into football, Lance Leipold and his staff are in the thick of it as well, looking at the portal this spring. It just opened last week. What are you tracking through the early days of football movement for this year?
Well, you know, Randy, a lot of it came down to how many spots were they going to have? Because mm-hmm. I believe going into the spring, they may actually have been over. Okay, so with some of the recent
And you had said that too on the boards.
Yeah, so with what's happened, I think there's a couple to give. They now can go out and, you know that they're doing it right and add a couple guys if the right guys come up. You know, things have been slow. The news has been slow. I think we all thought it might be a little busier. Now, I say that from our end, from a site standpoint, from a message board standpoint, things are slow. Trust me, things in the Kansas football office are not slow. Okay, they are dialed in. They are looking at that portal every minute. They're researching every name that goes in. And again, you know, there's limited spots that they're looking at. So it's not like they're looking for 5 guys at 5 different positions. So number one, okay, is pass rush defensive end. That is a concern. I mean, it is a major concern, especially with Dylan Brooks going down. I mean, they've got to find somebody. And you know what, Randy? There is a possibility. I don't know that they will, okay? I mean, we're still waiting. The portal's going to be open till next Tuesday. The info, I'm in the portal. I see every guy that goes in. I feel like things are starting to slow down now. I don't know, I don't know what's left out there. One guy to watch is By Job. He's a defensive end from Michigan State. I know the Kansas staff has been in touch with him. He went in the portal yesterday. He's originally from the state of Oklahoma, okay? I even put this on the message board. He reminds me a lot of Dylan Brooks, who hurt. And neither of them had a lot of college snaps. Job doesn't have a lot of college snaps. He's been, I know, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Boston College have all been in touch with him. The interesting thing here is Kansas knew about him in high school. They recruited him in high school. He was actually in Lawrence for an unofficial visit as a high school recruit. So there's some familiarity with the program, okay? But, you know, he's the only D end that I know that I feel that they are firmly recruiting right now. Now, maybe there's some guys they've got out there back. Well, Randy, there is not a lot of choices at pass rusher. Pass rush D end is probably the premier spot in the portal. It seems like every year people are looking for defensive ends. I was talking to a coach who is in the Big 12, and last week he said, "Hey, what's Kansas looking for?" And I said, "Well, mainly their big spots, defensive end." And this coach goes, "Oh, man." And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Well, that's what everybody's looking for, a D end." I mean, even guys that have good D ends are always looking for a DN that can still come in and give them snaps. You know, I mean, Oklahoma is going to look for a DN. Texas is going to look for a DN. I mean, they're always out to look for pass rushers, even if they're going to be a backup. You know, then you start talking about NIL and things like that. And you know, some schools can offer a lot of money for a kid to come in and be a possible backup. So defensive end is a hard position to recruit. You know, then I look at offensive line. I know they've been in touch and tried to reach out to Bryce Foster. He's a center from Texas A&M. So, you know, there's a few spots, offensive line, defensive end, and then tight end. You know, Deshaun Hanukkah got hurt, and I think he had moved his way into position to probably be the starting tight end. I know that there was maybe some interest in Bryce Pierre from Arizona State and Josh Beetham from Michigan, who's already picked up several offers since he went in the portal. But, you know, I'm kind of keeping my eye out on several positions, but the clock's ticking. And, you know, it's a little bit of a waiting game right now, so we'll see what happens here in the next 5 days.
You know, we've talked a lot about the difference with the winter and the spring portal. How much more difficult is the spring portal for coaching staffs and programs across the country?
Yeah, Randy, it's tougher. Now, usually you aren't looking for as many spots in the spring as you are in the winter, but it's a different pool, okay? In the winter, there's a lot bigger pool. I think guys know that NIL money's out there. I think people know they can improve their current positions. A lot of those guys leave on their own because they're looking to improve either their NIL or playing time or where they are on a depth chart, okay? The springtime, for me, I see a lot of players who realized they're not going to end up winning a starting job, or they're going to be struggling to get in a two deep. So those guys are the guys a lot of times in the spring. I'm not saying they all are, but it's definitely a higher percentage in the spring of people who maybe realize, hey, I'm not going to play as much as I wanted to. Or in evaluation meetings with the coaches after the spring, they're told, hey, I don't see you getting a lot of playing time next year. And, you know, they take that and say, well, I'm getting out of here. And there's just a smaller pool of people. So, you know, and in the spring, you know, everybody's always looking for a select few positions. And it happens to be, you know, Kansas isn't in the market right now for a couple of those positions that people are always looking for. So, you know, to me, there's quite a difference between the winter and the spring portal.
Before we get into high school recruiting, we have got a special guest joining us today. Anderson Kopp, the newest Kansas football commit, joins John Kirby on the studio line to talk about his commitment to the Kansas Jayhawks earlier this week.
We are joined by the newest Jayhawk, Anderson Kopp, who announced his commitment to KU on Tuesday. Anderson, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Man, I'm doing well. Hopefully you're getting some food after your spring football practice today and getting home and doing some homework, right?
Oh, for sure. I hit Chipotle today, and luckily tonight, no homework, so I'm just relaxing now.
Yeah, hey, Anderson, if you had homework, you probably wouldn't do it anyways, right?
No, I'm an academic weapon. I'll do it.
Hey, you gave your commitment to the Jayhawks. Just talk about, how did you know this was the right time to make the call?
I mean, first off, I was, going around, I didn't find a coach better than Coach D.A. Agbulsa. Just his teaching methods and the way he talks to the fellow O-linemen. I mean, undisputed best coach I've seen. Traveling around the country, from West Coast to East Coast. Didn't even see a coach on his level. Also, the strength program at KU is the best in the country. Just the way Coach Sleeve and his team work with their athletes and get to know the body of an individual athlete instead of a position and their weaknesses and strengths. I didn't see that at any other program. And also really the chemistry the players have within each other is something that you don't see at a lot of other programs. I mean, KU is really, it's truly a player-led team. And I think when I look down on it, it's the coaches, the chemistry between the players, and also the academics. I mean, KU's business school, which is what I want to go into, is top-notch. And like since my dad played there, I have a lot of connections in Lawrence already. So just strengthening those connections. Really, it was just all of that was just a recipe for success for me. And I was like, I can't pass up this great opportunity.
Tell me how it played out. Take me through the day when you called the coaches. You wanted to commit. What was their reaction? Just talk about that through the day.
So it was right after my first period, and my first period was Spanish. And I was talking to my parents the night before, and I was like, I think I want to go to KU. And then the next morning, I was really just in that Spanish class. I don't think I thought about Spanish one bit, but I was really just thinking, like, I'm going to do it. I think I want to be here. Like, this is the place I want to be. Like, let's do this. Let's be a Jayhawk. So at the first period, I call Coach D.A. I'm like, I want to be home. I'm ready to come home. I want to be a Jayhawk. And all I hear is just, like, cheering in the background. Like, all the coaches are hyped. I start getting texts. Coach Leipold calls saying, like, how pumped he is to have me on the staff. I'm reaching out to David McComb. Me and David were talking all during lunch in my fourth period. It was really just so much love from the staff. And it was honestly just, like, amazing. I mean, the fact that I was able to talk to David, a current player, meet the other commit we have, talk to, like, every coach on the staff, just see how, like, sees DA's reaction, and then, like, now me and DA, like, we're going to work on the other recruits, and I'm already, like, calling them up, saying, like, trying to get them to join the team too, tell them what we have special. So that was really the first day, so nothing but great things.
You know, Anderson, for you, this may be a little different than a lot of the recruits that we cover and things, because, I mean, you know, you grew up a Kansas fan, and your dad played at KU. I mean, how did it feel to make that commitment just with the ties that you have to the program?
Oh, I mean, it was amazing. I think we have a big family group text with, like, all my cousins, my uncles, my grandparents, and, like, it was just blowing up because, as you know, about half the people in that group chat went to KU, and the other half is going to KU. So, I mean, everyone was pumped up. My dad was pumped up. He was in tears. It was really just a surreal moment that, like, because I see the love he has for KU, and the fact that after I graduate, I get to carry on that love, and, like, I'm going to be flying the Jayhawk up every week in 20 years when I'm, like, 40, or I'm going to be flying that flag up to the day I die. Just the fact that I get to carry on that love for the school is the thing I'm most excited about, to be honest, and the fact that, like, I get to keep it in the roots with not only, like, KU, but also my family. Like, my family's all KU, and the fact that, like, I get to stay in that and I don't have to go to another team, and instead I can just pour even more of my love into KU is, like, the best thing ever.
You and I talked the other day that when I watched your film, you showed a lot at right tackle, you showed some at center, but you said you thought center was probably the position they're looking at you. Just talk about that a little bit.
So, like, my measurable is, like, 6'3", 280. It projects the most at center. I was talking to Coach Aligo, and he said me and Mike Novitski, the previous center, like, we have a pretty similar attributes, like height, weight, arm length, and all that. So, definitely, KU sees me as a center. I see myself as a center, like, spring ball practice right now. All my reps are at center. But like I said earlier, I can play all five. I'm going to play whatever the team needs me most at. But if I could guess, I'm going to help the team most at center.
I know you took some visits, okay? And I know you came in. I saw you at practice with your dad. How much did it help to watch Coach Agpalza work with the offensive line and see that for yourself?
it helped tremendously. You know, a coach can call you and a coach can talk to you one-on-one, and you can put on two faces, you know. He can be nice around you, and then you see him coach his players, and he's not a good coach. But to see that, the thing I respect most about Coach D.A. is he is the same person, he has the same character when he's talking to me and when he's talking to his players. It's not different. And just seeing him coach in the tone he has, and, like, he's a teacher out there. He's teaching his guys. And, I mean, the players, I was talking to all of them, the fellow linemen, they truly do love him. They see him as a father figure. They see him as a great coach, someone that can be in their wedding. It was huge watching him be able to coach, because I saw his true personality. And, I mean, his true personality is a personality that I saw when I first met him. So, I mean, seeing him coach was massive, to say the least.
All right, so you had a chance to communicate with David McComb, the quarterback commit, and then you're going to go to work now to try to get other guys be Jayhawks. Just tell me how you can help in that role.
Oh, for sure. I mean, first off, David was one of the major reasons I committed to KU, just feeling the love from a fellow player and, like, a sort of already homeliness with him. No, I already know the guys that are going to be in my class. But really, me and Coach D.A. were going over, like, yo, these are some of the dogs you want to get in the line. And I called one of them last night for, like, 20 minutes and just explaining to him how, like, KU can help you in life and how it helped my dad. And I was going to, like, the chemistry between the team is something I didn't see any other place. And really just building the connections to gain the trust of the fellow guys. And so I'm telling him, like, really, I want what's best for you. And, like, when we're talking, like, sometimes it's not about football. It's about school, like, girls, prom. It's really just getting to know the players we're recruiting. Like, not even as football players, but outside. Because I think everyone agrees, like, when we get a commit, we want someone that's a genuine human being, not only just a good football player. That helps the team's chemistry and helps the locker room. So I think all the guys I was calling last night, they all exemplify that. They're all great dudes. So really I'm not convincing them. Like, I know KU's the best place. I'm trying to show the love I have for KU to the fellow players, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Well, Anderson, congrats on the commitment. Thank you for joining us again on the podcast. You were a big hit with the fans last time, and we definitely look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Kirby, it's always good to have your center committed early.
Well, not just your center. I mean, listen, Anderson Kopp is – the people on the message board have always joked over the years because it always seems Kansas State gets guys because they've got some type of a tie to the school,
yeah,
or a family member. How many – I mean, it's crazy how many family members of people played at Kansas State. Well, guess what? The luck turns, and mm-hmm. Anderson Kopp, you know, his dad, Kevin, played at KU. So, you know, the Jayhawks finally get a good twist of fortune here. So, you know, I remember watching – Kevin Kopp play. I remember talking to Tony Severino at Rockhurst when he went through about him. Great family. And you know what, Randy? You're right about having a center. That is a nice luxury to know a guy that specializes and can play center is coming your way, because those are hard to find. When you look at a lot of centers, what are they? They're guys that came in as guards or tackles and you moved them over. But Anderson Kopp can flat out play center, and he's really good at it. So, and one of the big things he said there, this kid bleeds crimson and blue. Okay. He is a KU kid from a KU family with friends and family back in the area that he gets to go play in front of. And I think it's big that he talked about how he's going to help recruiting. Okay. He is going to be active. He said he talked with David McComb already. You know, this is the kind of kid that's going to work the phones. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be on social media reaching out to guys that are looking at Kansas and saying, hey, this is why I chose Kansas. You know, I've been a Kansas fan all my life. This is why you should join the Jayhawk family. So guys like Anderson Kopp, man, they can help you a lot.
You know, it's crazy to think how time flies, John, but we're closing in on 5 to 6 weeks until summer official visits start up. I don't know where the time is going right now. Give us an early take on recruits that you are looking at that could schedule officials to Lawrence in the next several months.
Yeah, Randy, it's going to be busy. I mean, it's going to be, the month of June is going to be crazy. It's going to be a 3-weekend type deal, starting in the 7th, going to the 14th, and then the 21st. And I think after that, the Kansas coaches are going to be about dead tired, and they're going to get out of the office while they can before all the fall camp stuff hits. But I think it could start off at the very end of the month. Jamar Beal-Goins from Desert Edge, who's from the same high school that the Jayhawks had a lot of success at, he could be the first summer visitor coming in at the very last day of May. He said it's still not set in stone yet, but that would be a great time because he would be arriving for his official visit when all of his high school teammates would be reporting to KU. So they would be there and he could see them on the visit. But June 7th will be the first big weekend. Carson Cox, a running back out of California. Juju Marks, 4-star O-lineman we've talked a lot about from St. Thomas Aquinas. He's penciled in on that weekend. Brad Fitzgibbon, a defensive lineman from Illinois. I'll have a story coming out on him pretty soon. Wide receiver Jalen Cooper out of Texas will be in that weekend. And then you got a couple commits coming that weekend, David McComb and Malachi Kirby. So when you have a nice group of visitors coming in and you got a couple kids who are committed, that helps a lot because they can sit there in front of those guys and, you know, tell them why they chose Kansas. And then the following week, we'll touch on June 21st a little later. I'm still working on some names for that, but on the 14th, Charles White, who's a linebacker out of Michigan, he gets along with Chris Simpson really well. He'll be in. Cameron Brooks told me he's coming that weekend. He's a defensive lineman out of Illinois. Jim Panagos has been all over him. Ben Alafayo, a defensive back out of California. Kristen Thatcher, who we've talked about a lot, a linebacker, 4-star out of Las Vegas. Trey Boyd, who I just wrote an article on last week, an offensive lineman from Minnesota. He came in for an unofficial. He'd be back for an official. So the other thing you got to look at too, Randy, when it comes to these official, they're kind of in pencil, okay, because I know Kansas has had some guys set for officials, and here in the last couple of weeks, they've already committed to other schools, so they're crossed off. So what's going to happen is the Kansas coaches early next week are going to get out on the road. With the new rules, you can now sit down and talk to the recruits while you're out. So I think they're going to firm up the visits, and I think we'll see some new visit names coming in from there.
I want to wrap this up, and we're, you know, by looking ahead, first off, there's going to be another podcast coming up soon where we're going to go position by position, and it may not be that soon, but it is something to look forward to. Before that, John, give me your take on where this roster is right now and where this team is. You've been around them this spring. What have you seen and kind of what's your feeling after spring ball?
Yeah, Randy, somebody asked me the other day, they said on the board in Vegas, they said the win total right now at some of the places there is 8.5 for KU. Okay. And I can't remember the last time Kansas was ever, you know, put at an 8.5 win total. And I told this person, come ask me when we know the health of Jalen Daniels. Okay. Because that's what it comes down to. I thought he looked good this spring, just doing basic things. Okay. I thought he had some velocity on his balls. I thought he was throwing well on the run. Still, he was not in a lot of the 11-on-11 scrimmage stuff. They held him out of that. It all revolves around the health of him, okay? Because he changes the dynamic of your entire offense and your team. Jalen Daniels, he gives you some swagger, okay? Even if you play defense, you're out there knowing Jalen Daniels is going to come back out with the offense. It's just a different mindset, okay? I love the skill at wide receiver. I love the skill at running back. I think the pieces are there for the offensive line. Need some more developing, okay? Daryl Agpalza, I really like watching him this spring coach the offensive line. But they're going to have to keep putting pieces there. You know, they're looking for a tight end in the portal. We'll see how that goes. Over on the other side, I'll tell you, one of the things I worried about was the entire D-line, the defensive ends, the pass rushers, and the interior part of the line. But coming out of spring, I feel much better about the interior than I did going in. I think there's going to be enough bodies. Panagos likes to rotate those guys. I think there's going to be enough to do that. You know, linebacker, you just still wait, you know. But I think the upside with like a Cornell Wheeler and a J.B. Brown, and Barry Hill's played a lot of football, and Brantley's developing, and Jason Gilliam, I just think that this group can be better than the group that we saw last year. The secondary is really good, right? I mean, Kobe, Mello, Burrows. Yeah, I mean, the secondary solid. But I will say this. The secondary is solid, okay, when you've got Kyron Johnson coming off the edge, when you've got, Lonnie Phelps. You got Lonnie Phelps coming off the edge. You've got Austin Booker coming off the edge. You know, pass rushing has always been this question. Well, they've always found an answer. Well, this year, we're going into May, and right now, that question about the pass rush is out there. And I don't care how good your corners are, okay? If you can't get to the quarterback, no great corner can cover forever. So, I mean,
no question.
You know, that's going to be a big piece to this puzzle. And then, you know, I look at special teams. You know, somebody's got to jump up and win the place-kicking job. But, Randy, it's funny, as we've done this podcast over years, the program is on such solid footing that we're almost kind of nitpicking at some things here, right? We're like finding things to nitpick about. Compared to the past, we would be like, oh man, you got trouble here. You got trouble here. This is going to be now when you look at the program top to bottom, there's so much more positive than the negative. So the program is on great footing. These guys will figure it out. But there definitely are still some question marks heading into the summer.
That's the final word from our man John Kirby, and that will do it for another edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We gave you the state of the state of men's basketball as portal season continues on, and Bill Self and his staff look to fortify the roster of the men's basketball program. We talked a lot about the portal, both basketball and football. We heard from Anderson Kopp, the Jayhawks' latest commitment on the offensive line, and told you some things to kind of, you know, that Kirby picked up on after spring football. You are primed and ready. You have all the knowledge you need right now as a Kansas fan. If you want more, now is the absolute perfect time to subscribe to JayhawkSlant.com, the premier fan destination on the internet for Kansas football and basketball fans, to hear from experts, the guys that know this team like no other, like Shea Wildebor, like John Kirby. Get insight you won't find anywhere else. If you got friends that are KU fans that aren't listening to the podcast, first off, send them the link to the podcast. Second off, tell them they need to get on the slant. For my man, Shea Wildebor, for my friend John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We'll talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.